ravaged, mutilated bodies of the three men.
Been a hard passing.
Likely be the three foremen that the fat man told us about.
Two were tied upright, crucified, their arms stretched out sideways, while the third of the victims had been hauled up to a crossbeam and bound upside down, head toward the trampled earth. All three had been stripped naked. All of them were blackened, skin bloated, as corruption worked its inexorable progress through their swollen tissues. Ryan squatted on his heels, shaking dust from his jacket.
Doesn't look like this happened all that long ago. 3-4 days. Wolfram said they were taken longer than that. The Stickies must have kept them alive since then, waiting for the right place for party time.
There was still the faintest odor of gasoline hanging in the clearing.
At least we know the muties are still around.
Or they were a few days ago.
Yeah. We gonna cut them down?
Won't do them no good, Ryan, will it? Might as well just leave them. Any muties pass by and see the bodies have been disturbed, might take it into their heads to follow our trail.
I guess so. Northward, then.
Watch out for the mines and traps that the map shows around this part. Between here and the fortress. Last thing that we need is to get ourselves blown up or caught in the steel jaws of the man-traps.
The hunting trail linked up once more with a good stretch of blacktop that showed signs of recent use by four-wheel wags. Ryan pulled out the map to refresh his memory. Wolfram and the Magus' excavations are out east, not far.
Think we should take a look?
Later, maybe. If we get the others free, then there won't be any need.
If they got wags, then we can use them to run.
It's not going to be easy. Those Sekhmen look tough. Bastards like Magus and the Fat Man have got them well trained. Good as they come. Still, Tuckett's is nowhere. Gotta give it a shot. Gotta come up with something when we've seen the setup.
They moved along the trail, still running northward, without any sign of traps or danger, though they kept clear of the verges, where they knew from experience that anti-personnel mines could do most harm.
Light's starting to go. Time to find a place to hole up.
Yeah, feeling hungry. Don't see much sign of fresh game spore.
Stickies. Once you get a gang of those triple red sick bastards sweeping through a part of the land, then it gets purged of life. What doesn't get chilled runs.
As long as they keep away from us. Things go well, then we might not have to fight them.
That'll be the day, Pilgrim. That'll be the day.
Once again, Ryan and JB took to the trees for the night, finding a grove of splendid live oak standing near a muddy pool just off the trail, set among the mainly coniferous forest. It was the meeting point of a number of smaller, twisting tracks that snaked away in all directions. On the map that Wolfram had given them, it looked as though they were less than 10 miles from the fortress, plumb in the middle of the region that had been booby-trapped. In the failing light, Ryan and JB had peered carefully at the ground around the paths, looking for some signs of disturbed earth, but there was nothing to be seen. The two friends once more used their belts to secure themselves in a fork, about 30 feet from the dangers of the ground, sitting together as the coppery sun sank to the west and the shadows deepened. A half hour back, they'd passed some bushes brimming with a rich crop that resembled large thimbleberries, tinted purple, but with an unusual scented sweetness. Both men now had dark stains around their mouths from the fruit.
As soon as we're out of this, I could really go for some venison. Roasted over apple wood and served with baked potatoes and fresh-picked peas. Topped off with a cherry cobbler.
Could do worse. I wouldn't mind breasted duck and a black currant sauce with green potatoes, flavored with nutmeg and lashings of gravy, sliced beans on the side, and a steamed pudding with fresh cream and molasses.
Oh, enough. Dark night, but that's enough. I'll drown in my own spit if we keep going like this.
I think our trip on that boat spoiled us.
Ryan woke with a start, aware of the familiar feeling of falling. A sensation that Doc had once told him was an atavistic response, dating back from primeval days when the hunter-gatherers would spend most nights in the trees to keep themselves from the ferocious beasts that roamed the primitive continents of the world. A slip and a fall would lead inevitably to a rending death. Ryan rubbed at his eye, glancing around, finding that a bright hunter's moon now shone serenely through the trees, turning the small lake into a silver mirror. A hunting owl swooped wide-eyed between the trunks of the surrounding trees, weaving away toward the west. Ryan aimed his index finger after it, following its jinking flight. Bang. He realized now that he needed to relieve the pressure on his bladder, and he carefully unbuckled himself, trying not to disturb his companion. He looked all around before climbing down, feeling for the footholds on the slippery bole of the oak.
Fire blast.
He rubbed at the spot in his thigh where he'd been shot weeks back. Walking a little way off from the tree to take a leak, he used the chance to work out the stiffness in his leg. Something small jumped in the lake, and ripples spread across the dark water of the pool. Ryan stopped about 50 paces away from his sleeping partner. With one hand against a stubby pine, he closed his eyes and tried to clear his mind and think about the task that faced them. Their plan to reach the place and wreck it around noon tomorrow with a view to a nighttime attack seemed feasible, but it wasn't yet much of a plan. Ryan opened his eye again, ready to rejoin JB, snug in the live oak. He then saw the pallid, raggedy figure, and then two more. They had the unmistakable shambling demeanor of Stickies, their shoulders hunched, scrawny necks thrust out inquisitively, their heads thrown back, seeking their prey, closing in on the tree where JB was sleeping. The moonlight was bright enough for Ryan to make out the brutish faces, with rudimentary noses like hogs, gaping, dribbling jaws, skin seamed with running sores, and the circles of voracious suckers that lined their hands and fingers, opening and closing, showing the tiny razored teeth. All three of the half-naked muties were holding crude daggers, with wooden hilts bound to rusting blades, with knotted lengths of baling wire. Ryan's first inclination was to draw the heavy automatic and blast the three creatures back to their own private hell. It would only take a handful of seconds, at a range where he couldn't miss. Even with the silencer, the sound of the shots would carry through the silent woods, attracting the attention of any other muties within a quarter mile. And there was also a better-than-average chance that one of the Stickies would scream out as he went down. It was possible they were a single, small hunting party, but from everything Ryan knew, it was likely the place was teeming with the runaway slaves. Ryan slipped from cover, taking a few moments to look all around him, checking for the flicker of movement beneath the trees, watching beyond the pool for lean, solitary figures standing and waiting. But it looked as if there were just the three. They'd located JB. They were standing in a cluster with their backs turned to Ryan. Two of them cupped hands and hefted the third up the tree. The Sticky easily reached the first of the holds. Stickies were naturally clumsy, and Ryan had expected the climb to give them trouble. Now the leader would be within reach of JB in a handful of seconds, his comrades already struggling to follow him up the gnarled trunk. Running, Ryan gripped his panga's taped hilt tightly. At the last moment, the third of the Stickies started to turn around, his feral senses catching some murmur of the attack. He was lowest on the tree, only a couple of feet off the ground. The panga cut through the scabby skin, flesh, artery, muscle, and spine, coming out the other side of his neck. Ryan didn't notice the ugly skull by his feet as he readied his second cut, twisting his wrists to present the blade on the backswing. The panga was buried deep under the Sticky's genitals, rammed deep into the lower intestines. Blood gushed over Ryan's arm and shoulder, flooding into the dirt. The last of the Stickies was almost up at the fork of the tree, climbing with unusual agility, his leering face turning back toward Ryan. The mutie's lidless eyes were wide with triumph, knowing that Ryan could no longer reach him, and JB's sleeping figure was helpless in front of him. So Ryan dropped the panga and started to draw the Sig Sauer, his heart knowing that it was going to be too late. As the smoke cleared, Ryan could see the devastating effect of the M4000 Smith & Wesson 12-gauge. Awakened from sleep by the scream of the castrated Sticky, JB's fighting reflexes had been swift enough to level and fire the shotgun, gripping it by the pistol butt, bracing it against his own chest.
Time to move.
JB quickly threw down the rifle. He pulled out his glasses and hooked them on the bridge of his bony nose.
Hang on while I...
That shriek will bring any bastard Sticky within 5 miles.
Ready. Yeah, and a bright moon like this is all we need. We're gonna hole up?
Like Trader used to say, moving too fast is sometimes worse than moving too slowly.
It seemed a high probability that there were more Stickies in the surrounding forest, maybe a lot of them, and moving out meant the risk of charging into them like headless chickens. But the amount of cover was minimal. They hadn't seen any buildings for some time. In any case, buildings would be the first targets for any hunting muties seeking vengeance.